Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're here on the North Shore Drive podcast with a special episode from the AccraSure Fan Advantage, breaking the game down Steelers-Niners with 49ers reporter from The Athletic, Matt Barrows. It's going to be a fun episode. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. This is now a special episode that we will be releasing all season long thanks to the AccraSure Fan Advantage. This year, the Fan Advantage from AccraSure brings you closer to the team than ever, featuring exclusive answers to your burning questions from Steelers insider Brian Batko. We did that on a Friday episode of the North Shore Drive podcast, as well as an in-depth conversation with the opponent's experts each week. This week's expert is Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Now, full disclosure, Matt and I recorded a whole episode early this week, and then the Niners had the nerve to sign Nick Bosa 10 minutes after literally we logged off.
They were waiting for us to do that.
They were waiting, Matt. It's so crazy. But Matt was so gracious with his time. We are very thankful that you're doing another episode. So let's jump right into the Nick Bosa conversation. Can you break down to us how this happened? He had been in different parts of the country. He wasn't necessarily with the team. How did this play out?
No, he was in Port Lauderdale working out. He's got a gym that he built with his brother. They're the only two members of this gym. And 6 weeks ago, Joey Bosa heads off to Los Angeles to start Charger training camp. And so little brother is left by himself, and he continued that regimen that they do. And, that's part of the reason why the 49ers never really got truly hot and bothered by his absence, because they knew that he does quality work with Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa's trainer, Todd Rice. It's high-level stuff. So the expectation was that whenever Nick Bosa arrived, he was going to arrive in great shape. But I think that Wednesday was always sort of the bewitching hour for them, because they had gone through the 2019 season. This is Nick Bosa's rookie year. He gets an ankle injury, serious ankle injury. I want to say it was like August 4. So barely a week into training camp, big ankle injury. He's out for all of the rest of training camp, all of the preseason. He doesn't start practicing for week one, which was in Tampa that year, until the Wednesday before the game. And even then, he was sort of limited. That was not full go, and manages to have a sack, three quarterback hits, a great game against Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers that day. Big blowout win for the 49ers. The point being is that the 49ers knew that, okay, we could take it as far as Wednesday. But beyond Wednesday, that's when we're going to start to really sweat. And that's exactly how it all played out. I mean, I think when you look at the figure, $34 million a year, the devil's going to be in the details, but if that's accurate and you look at what Aaron Donald was, $31.7 million a year, that's a significant leap over Aaron Donald. So I would say that Nick Bosa won. He won the blinking competition with the 49ers, and now he's back, and everybody's heading to Pittsburgh this afternoon.
Absolutely. Matt, I look at this situation and how it plays out, and the big question from Steelers fans is how much Nick Bosa will play. But if you talk to the Steelers, whether it's Mike Tomlin or Dan Moore Jr. or whoever's on the offense, they're expecting Nick Bosa to be 100% ready to go, because you kind of have to. When you're the reigning defensive player of the year and you know you're an offense gearing up for a guy like that, whether or not they play, you have to be prepared for them to play in full. How much do you think Nick will play? I mean, it's been clear Kyle Shanahan said as long as he doesn't have a beer belly, which obviously he doesn't, he's going to be playing. But will the Niners kind of slow it down a little bit as far as his snap percentage because of, you know, him not being able to work out with the team, maybe not being in football shape, quote unquote, as far as just taking contact constantly like his teammates? Do they hold him back because of that, or does he play the whole way?
I mean, I think that they're more worried about – they've got the Rams the next week, and then they've got a short week to prepare for the Giants. You know, he's got fresh legs right now. He could play 100% of the snaps against Pittsburgh, and he'd be fine in that game. But he hasn't gone through sort of the the rigors of training camp, you know, that soreness that they all feel and that they all work through. He hasn't had that. And so I think there's a not a fear, but a concern that, you know, it's possible that we, end up, playing him a lot in this game, and then he's going to be hurting for the next one or two. I went back and I looked at the snap percentages back in 2019. He played 55% of the snaps against the Buccaneers. So not a big game snap count wise. And then the following week, they were up in Cincinnati, and he played 43% of the snaps in that game. So it dropped a little bit. That was a blowout win. I think that has something to do with it. The starters were on the sideline in the fourth quarter there. So, but, you know, I think that's what's going through the 49ers' minds right now. They don't want to overuse him in Pittsburgh and then have him be a little bit slow, a little bit sore for the next couple of games.
Right. And you don't want to put him at risk for any soft tissue injuries, just things that, you know, like I think we saw at the beginning of the 2020 season when people didn't get preseasons. You just saw across the NFL, whether you were a great athlete or just an average one, you were getting hurt a lot more often in that season. And part of that's just because of the rigor of preseason and of training camp, the physicality that was doled back because of the pandemic then. And we saw that rise there. I feel like Nick Bosa, like you said, he physically, like, he could go. Like, there's no question as far as his stamina. It's just about, like you said, do they want to have this lead to something that lingers for weeks and not get 100% of Nick Bosa for the season? But certainly that's going to be the big topic there. But like I said, the Steelers are looking at Nick Bosa and that defensive front, and they're saying, like, that's, you know, they're preparing for it to be 100%. What's the biggest aspect of the Steelers that you think the Niners are preparing for right now?
I think their running game. I think the fact that they take shots deep, and then that interplay between, dedicate to the run, and once the defense commits to that, then take your shots deep. 49ers have some injuries in the secondary now. Since we last spoke, Charvarius Ward, who is far and away their best outside cornerback, he missed Thursday's practice with a heel injury that cropped up this week. That's a new injury. Tashaun Gibson and Talanoa Hufanga, the two starting safeties, neither of whom, by the way, is known for his speed. Both of them have missed a lot of practices recently. Gibson has a back injury. Hufanga had what's known as a Baker's cyst behind his knee. And that caused him to miss a lot of time. And he was actually out on Thursday. It was for a personal matter, not the knee issue. But again, not ideal. If there's a weakness in this defense, you've got Bosa coming in a little bit cold. You've got some real issues in the secondary. I think that sort of plays into what the Steelers were going to do anyway. Especially if the 49ers have to go with a youngster, either at cornerback or perhaps even more prominent at safety, because that's where that back end help is going to come from. And it's something that the Steelers might be able to exploit.
I want to talk to you, Matt, more about, you know, some of the other players, George Kittle being another guy that people have been keeping their eye on, but also things the Steelers need to key on for the Niners across the board, whether it's on offense and defense, as well as what more of the Niners will be focusing on this game. We'll get to all of that in a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by the AcroShirt Fan Advantage. This year, the Fan Advantage brings you closer to the team than ever with exclusive answers to all your burning questions. Just submit them to myself or Brian Batko throughout the week. And at the end of the week, on the Friday episode, we'll be going over your questions and talking about the most burning questions heading into the big weekend for Steelers football. And then each week we will give you an in-depth conversation with an opponent's expert each week. This week it's Matt Barrows on the 49ers. We got another guest lined up for the Browns coming up and the Raiders after that. Tune in every Friday before each game for the breakdown with me and Brian, and then Saturdays to get the breakdown we have. And visit acroshirt.com/fanadvantage for more information to submit your questions. acroshirt.com/fanadvantage for more information.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with Matt Barrows of The Athletic, who covers the 49ers. Matt, let's get into Kittle for a second here, because he's another guy that everyone's been looking at. What has he looked like? I saw that he was limited in practice at different points this week. Are the Niners feeling like he could be available for this game?
Yeah, I think he's going to be available. I mean, we haven't watched a full practice with him and haven't done so in a while. He's been dealing with his groin injury since before they went off to they scrimmaged against the Raiders in Nevada early in August. So this has been a while, and he came back and he played a little in the preseason finale against the Chargers. It's just a cameo appearance, and it that seemed to maybe cause a little bit of a setback as well. So it's been slow going. Groins are can turn into big issues. The 49ers had a case with that with their linebacker Dre Greenlaw a couple of seasons ago, turned into a season-long thing because they didn't take care of it properly initially. So obviously they're trying to avoid that. So I would say that no, he's not going to be, you know, 2018 George Kittle in this game. There is going to be some restraint. I will say that, you know, once Brock Purdy took over late in the season last year, Kittle's numbers really rose. And I think that was because Kittle was hurt early on last year, too. This has become a bit of a theme with him. And he was feeling better and better as the season wore on. But he and Purdy seemed to have a really nice rapport, especially around the red zone. George Kittle had never been a big touchdown catcher, despite his gaudy yardage totals. Last year, he had 10. He had a few games with two, you know, in Mexico City against the Cardinals, in Seattle against the Seahawks. He really took over those games. So my point is that I do think that there's a possibility that if you don't pay attention to George Kittle, especially in the red zone, the 49ers can make you pay. But that is that has been a bit of a concern for this team heading into week one.
I want to get to Purdy in a minute here, but before we do that, I want to go back and talk about, you know, how the Steelers are preparing for Nick Bosa versus Dan Moore. Dan Moore, a fourth-round draft pick in his third year at left tackle. He has 33 starts on him. But on the flip side, I imagine the Niners have to be just as concerned with their right tackle against T.J. Watt and Colton McKivitt, who has 5 starts under his belt. And I imagine Kittle's got to be part of that answer, right? Like, you got to give McKivitz as much help against the guy, just like the Steelers are going to give help against Moore, you know, going against Bosa. Has that been something you've seen talked about and that they've been focusing on to figure out different ways to assist McKivitz in that matchup?
Yeah, this will be the biggest test of McKivitt's career. I mean, he had a game a couple of seasons ago where he had to go against Von Miller. And that was a big Week 17 must-win game. So he does have some, experience with these types of high-pressure matchups. They gave him a lot of help in that game. They're going to give him a lot of help in this one as well. He's a question mark this season. He's always been a good guy who's kind of come off the bench and had to make a clutch start or two. But this year, he's the guy from jump. And so, he's a bit of an unknown for the 49ers. The thing that they like about him, he comes from that area. He comes from Southern Ohio, went to school at West Virginia, blue collar background, does not get rattled easily. And so, that's what they like about him, does not get inside his own head a lot. But you're absolutely right. I think one of the ways that they're going to combat TJ Watt is by, giving him a lot of tight end help. And sometimes, running backs chipping, doing all the things that opponents do to Nick Bosa, they're just going to use that on TJ Watt in this game.
Now, one thing, getting back to Brock Purdy, I asked Mike Tomlin about Brock Purdy and how they got to focus on to slow him down, because they have like only, so many games of tape to study from what his tendencies are. And Mike Tomlin went right to it. It's less about Brock Purdy. It's more about Kyle Shanahan's system, because whether he's had Matt Ryan when he was with the Falcons, or Jimmy Garoppolo, or Trey Lance, or Brock Purdy, it's been about his system getting the ball out their hands quickly, or just being on time, staying ahead of schedule, not getting behind the down and distance to put them in favorable situations to be quote unquote quarterback friendly in there. And some people might take that as disrespect, to saying like, oh, you're just calling him a system quarterback, because some people do use that as slights, but that's not a slight from Mike Tomlin. He's like, hey, he even acknowledged, like, that's what we're trying to do for Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh right now. What is it about Kyle Shanahan's system that allows it to be more quarterback friendly?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been the joke around here for a while, that the real star of Kyle Shanahan's offense is Kyle Shanahan. And if he can find somebody to basically be the brain center, to kind of transmit what's coming from Kyle Shanahan's brain to the rest of the team, that would be the ideal quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's looking for Kyle Shanahan at quarterback. And so there's this idea, and it's still sort of a young idea, that he's finally found that in Brock Purdy. I mean, Kyle Shanahan has cycled through a lot of quarterbacks in a short amount of time. Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they made a push to get CJ Beathard here in 2017. They traded up to get him. Trey Lance came and went in 2.5 years. Kyle Shanahan loses patience with quarterbacks very quickly. So the sense is that, okay, he's finally found that in Brock Purdy, but it certainly isn't proven yet. But Purdy's only started 8 games. Mm-hmm. But to your point, I mean, it's an offense that, can gouge you in a number of different ways. I think the real secret to Kyle Shanahan's success is that he trots out the same personnel group, and the plays start out the same way, but they can branch off into myriad different things. And so it's very good at disguising its intent. When you've got a guy like Debo Samuel who can run the ball and who can catch the ball, when you've got a guy like Christian McCaffrey who can run the ball and who can catch the ball, when you've got a guy like George Kittle who can block and receive equally well, that's what Kyle Shanahan wants, to be able to do X, Y, and Z from the same personnel group in the same formation, and basically the same way that the play is starting out. If you're not playing that offense a lot, it can be, all it takes is a couple of mistakes, and then Shanahan's got you.
And I agree. I mean, that's a facet that is fascinating to me about that offense, is that when I study like individual players, a lot of times, like if you're a pass rusher, you want your approach to be the same way before you break into your move, so that they can't read, oh, they're going outside, they're going inside. And for Shanahan to encapsulate that into an entire offense, That, I think, is what people talk about when they say he's one of the young up-and-coming great minds of all football right now, with his ability to get that and make that a system that his quarterbacks can rely on. I want to talk to Matt on the other side of this upcoming break about the keys for both sides in this game, and then our predictions for how this game will go. We'll get to that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, with Matt Barrows. This is the Acrisure Fan Advantage. Stick with us. We'll be right back. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter with Matt Barrows of The Athletic. He covers the 49ers. Matt, I look at this and I think if you're going to challenge the Niners offense, you have to get them off schedule and off rhythm. Part of that comes with winning the line of scrimmage, which is not easy because that's a pretty doggone good offensive line. That's a group that likes to be physical. When I look at these teams, and I talked about this with Brian Batko on our Friday episode here, these teams, I think the Niners are what the Steelers are trying to be in total. You see the elite edge rusher in Bosa and Watt. You see big-time safeties in Hufanga and Fitzpatrick. You see playmakers on offense, whether it's McCaffrey to Harris or Pickens to Samuel or Kittle to Freiermuth. And not that the Steelers are where the Niners are, because the Niners just got to the NFC Championship and the Steelers missed the playoffs last year. But the way that they've gone in building their roster, I see some very similar parallels here. Do you see those parallels here?
Yeah, in fact, I talked to Kittle about Pat Freiermuth earlier this year, Pat having gone to tight end university. And so one of our writers was doing a story on him and wanted Kittle's take on what he saw from Pat. And I think Pat really kind of soaked up everything that Travis Kelce and Kittle were telling him, Kittle was impressed by him. So I think there's a nice young tight end there who can, like I said, I mean, being able to block and receive equally well in this NFL is rare. You don't see it very often. Right. Kittle's one of them. Hockenson in I guess he's in Minnesota now, is another. I think this guy we were watching last night, Sam Laporta, could be another one up in Detroit. But this is a pass happy league, and so most of these guys come into the NFL as receivers more than blockers. So that's what makes Kittle special. I think that's what makes the 49ers offense special, is that they're able to kind of block. The receivers have that mentality as well, and that kind of adds to the outside. But to answer your point, I mean, I think that's a great comparison, and I know that T.J. Watt is somebody that's commanding a lot of respect inside the 49ers locker room this week.
Give us the biggest factor that needs to play out on Sunday for the 49ers to get a win.
I mean, they want to get Christian McCaffrey going. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that's usually an advantage for the 49ers when they're playing a non-division opponent, because they use this zone blocking scheme, which basically puts the offensive linemen out in space, gets them kind of blocking on an angle instead of sort of the more traditional gap blocking. And it's something that defenses that aren't accustomed to it's hard to replicate in 1 week. Even Christian McCaffrey was saying he came in at, I think it was week 7 last year, and it really took him all season for him to adjust to the timing of it. The gaps are different, the cutback lanes are different, everything's different. So my point is that if you're not the Rams, Seahawks, or the Cardinals, and you're seeing this, and by the way, the Rams run the same thing, so the NFC West is well versed in it. When you play a team like the Steelers, who's not who aren't as well versed, that can be an advantage for the 49ers. I think being week 1 with the Steelers probably having looked at it closely for a couple of weeks now, at least, that might be a little bit different. But usually, when the 49ers are catching another team on a regular week, it's something that is a real advantage for them.
I hear you on that. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey. Mike Tomlin said he is the best in the NFL at winning one-on-one in space. The Steelers absolutely are focusing on him all week long. I think that similarly, when you look at the Steelers, they're going to try to get into their offensive rhythm and get Kenny Pickett some chances to make some on-rhythm plays and less being worried about the pressure that can come from a defense that's stacked, not just Bosa, but they've added Hargrave, Armstead. Red Warner's going to be in that mix. There's a lot of things that they're going to have to account for there, and I think they're going to try to do their best they can to limit how much Kenny Pickett has to do in the second half and throughout the game that's outside of what they're scripting to make things work on offense. And then on defense, you want to get them a lead. Last year, the Steelers' defense, they won all but one of their games with every game that they won last year, they won by allowing the opponents to score 20 or less points. And that's what the defense has had to work with. But they want to be able to play with a lead, actually giving them something to protect. It's something the Steelers haven't really done since early 2020. If you look back to Ben Roethlisberger's last like kind of good season that the year was. But Matt, let's get to our predictions here. How do you see this game playing out? What's like the big turning point of the game, and what's your final score?
Yeah, I think the 49ers are going to want to stop that running game. They've toyed with blitzing more this year, and I just wonder whether that's actually going to play out. It's especially with Bosa there, I think that they're going to be able to hit home regularly enough with their four that they can keep the rest of the players in coverage and keep the linebackers in a spot where they can stop that running game. That's a priority for them. I'm going to go with I think it'll be close. The 49ers haven't been great starters under Kyle Shanahan. In fact, they don't have a winning record in that regard or anything close. I think that they were, I want to say, 3-4 to start out last season. They just took a while to get going, and that's sort of been their MO. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch. I'm going to stick, I think I went 27-24, something like that, maybe 30-27. I'll adjust it to 27-24 49ers for this game.
I have a similar score, but in the other direction. I have it 27-23 Steelers, particularly because, like you said, the Niners have been a little bit slow starting. I think that just with the Bosa situation, McKivitz and Purdy coming back from his injury, there might be a slow start there. The Steelers have been hot starters the last few years. They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati last year in stunning fashion. They did the same thing to Josh Allen and the Bills in Buffalo the year before that. I believe they won their 2020 opener as well. They've won three in a row. This is the first time they have opened at home since 2014, which is crazy to think how long it's been. Almost went a full decade without having a Steelers home game. I think that they ride the wave of just how well they played in the preseason, how well they've looked in practice, and how sharp they've been. Again, it'll be a close game. Like these two teams, I think they're very close in a lot of things that they want to do when they go in to execute a game. I just give the edge to the Steelers in this situation. I think they're a little hotter coming into this game. If this was middle part of the year, I'd probably be picking differently, because I think the Niners will pick up steam and be one of those teams that's competing for an NFC championship and, again, for a Super Bowl spot there. Matt, thanks so much for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work and anything else we should be on the lookout for.
Yeah, follow me on X or Twitter at Matt Barrows. We have a whole slate of things we've written this week, including a couple of stories on Brock Purdy and why he's seems to have caught Shanahan's eye like perhaps no one else so far with the 49ers. So lots of good stuff on theathletic.com.
Absolutely. Thanks so much to Matt for joining us. Thank you all for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast in this special Saturday edition brought to you by the Acrisure Fan Advantage. We'll be doing this all season long with each Steelers opponent. Again, find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. I'm Chris Carter from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll see you Sunday. I'll be at Acrisure Stadium along with our entire team. We'll have Jerry Dulac giving you a post-game breakdown. And then Monday, we'll be back here on the North Shore Drive podcast detailing what happened and getting you ready for the next week of Steelers action right here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.